It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Welcome, everybody, to episode 34 of Taylor Talk. Taylor's new song, State of Grace, just came out an hour ago, and we're going to talk about that soon. But for now, this is Adam.
Belle.
Maya.
And Diane.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hey.
Welcome to this lovely October 15th. State of Grace came out early. Again.
I love iTunes.
Yeah.
For posting things to their systems an hour early.
And I love everybody and everything right now. Hi.
Oh, we're a little weird right now, so sorry.
Just a little. We're like on a Taylor song high right now.
That's cool.
Which is completely natural.
So some quick announcements before we get going. As we said the last couple episodes, these single releases are called for special edition Taylor Talks, so the mini segments are being postponed until we get back on our regular schedule. In the meantime, Belle is putting together a special project for us that's going to be released on October 22nd along with the Red album. So you guys have that to look forward to. That uses all of your mini segments that we have missed the last couple weeks.
In other words, keep submitting them, and guys, send voicemails because they're going to be used in this project.
Oh yeah, voicemails. There's actually a lot of voicemails.
The songs in the voicemails, talk about what you think about the album, anything that you want. Send in voicemails.
Next announcement, I have to issue a slight retraction from last episode. We said, mistakenly so, that the bonus tracks had not been officially released yet. What we meant when we said that was that we had seen them all over the social networks, but they hadn't been officially released, and we were mistaken. They were, in fact, on the Big Machine Records website. The Target Deluxe edition of Red is going to include a song called The Moment I Knew, Come Back, Be Here, Girl at Home, then an original demo recording of Treacherous, an original demo recording of Red, and an acoustic version of State of Grace, which we're going to talk about later. What up? So before we get going to that State of Grace discussion, let's hear the calendar from Maya.
Okay, so our first calendar item is that this Thursday, October 18th, Taylor is going to be performing on Ellen. The show's actually not going to be airing, though, until October 25th, so make sure that you set your DVRs for the 25th so you can see Ellen. But Belle and Diane are both very lucky young ladies, and they're both going to get to be there on the 18th, and they're going to see her, so we will hear all about that from them on the next episode, I'm sure. Or you can follow them on Twitter, and I'm sure they'll be fangirling about it all day, so you can...
Yeah. Definitely. I will be live tweeting from the event. So if you want to follow me and Belle, you should do that.
And I've heard that you're allowed to bring cameras, so we'll be expecting pictures.
Ooh.
Oh, actually, I don't remember what the thing said. I think we might not have been allowed to bring cameras.
Really? I thought someone said you were. Either way, can't, you know.
Well, if not, I still have my
pictures,
phone, so I can
tweets,
still take pictures.
Everything.
Right, well. Particularly with your phones, though, at least you can tweet. So if you're allowed cameras, use your phones and live photo update on the Taylor Talk account, perhaps?
Yeah.
We did for iHeartRadio?
Yeah, we could do that.
Sounds like a plan.
I know
plan.
I'll be glued to your Twitters, so at least I'm me.
Okay, thank you.
I'm very excited.
Our second calendar item is that the Begin Again music video is going to be coming out on October 22nd, same day as the album Red, so we have two exciting things to look forward to on that day. So, Adam, why don't you do our third calendar item?
All right, final calendar item. That's not all we have to look forward to on October 22nd. And if you don't know this already, then shame on you. But you are listening to the right show to fill you in on the information and let you know that Taylor Swift's new album Red is coming out exactly a week from us recording this on October 22nd. That morning, she's also going to be on Good Morning America, so be sure to watch that. And then the following day, on October 23rd, she'll be doing a concert for Good Morning America, so also watch that. If you want to watch it live, Good Morning America is running a contest to send the biggest Taylor Swift fan to see her in New York next week. You can nominate yourself or someone you know and write a brief essay on why you or your nominee is the biggest Taylor Swift fan. To enter, though, you have to be 18 or older, and I believe a U.S. resident. Can anyone confirm that?
Yeah, you have to be a U.S. resident, and the nominee has to be 18 or older.
Right. Okay, so the nominee. So nominate yourself if you are 18 or older, or nominate a friend. And maybe they'll be nice enough to bring you.
And from what I read the official rules, and just so everyone knows, they're judging the entries on creativity. So be creative.
Perfect.
Whoever wants to nominate me, please do.
Or me.
Or me.
That's or fine. Me.
Or just
if anybody wants to nominate me, I will like literally bake you homemade cookies and send them to you. So tweet me. I am an awesome cookie baker.
Belle uses packaged cookies from the grocery store. I will homemade you a cheesecake.
That's a lie. Outright lie.
But
learned
Taylor also uses packaged cookies from the store, so it's okay.
Ooh. I bake from scratch.
Okay, whatever, Belle. If you could give us the news, that'd be awesome.
So we have some awesome news for you guys. The first thing is that Taylor is making a handful of magazine appearances this month, which is, come on, we all love Taylor in magazines. She's awesome. She does the awesomest interviews and whatnot. She's doing a Q&A with Esquire, which is a male interest magazine, so that should be really interesting.
It's really funny. She talks about her alcohol preferences.
Oh, yeah, on the alcohol preferences. She's on the cover of Glamour and on the cover of Rolling Stone for the second time, which is, like, ridiculously awesome. I can't take that. That's just too awesome for me.
They're all really interesting articles.
And if anyone remembers when we were all so confused when there was pictures showing up on Twitter of Taylor, like, strolling around New York City with a guitar case, it was for the Rolling Stone.
Right,
and
now we know why.
Now we know.
In other news, Taylor will be performing at Kiss FM's Jingle Ball in December. The tickets for that go on sale to Kiss Club VIP members this Friday, October 19th at 10 a.m. But if you're not a Kiss Club VIP member, you can buy them this Saturday, October 20th at 10 a.m. And I will be in line on Friday on my computer trying to get a ticket.
Woohoo!
Keeping my fingers crossed. And finally, Taylor has 5 American Country Award nominations. These are for Artist of the Year, Female Artist, Single of the Year, Female, for Hours, Music Video of the Year, Female, also for Hours, and Touring Artist of the Year. Now, these awards are fan-voted, so be sure to go online and vote, and we'll have the link up in the episode 34 guide on taylortalk.org, so you can follow that link and go vote for Taylor.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Belle and Diane. That was awesome. Now, we gotta cut to the chase, the moment everybody's been waiting for.
Drum roll.
The State of Grace discussion.
Yay!
As we said earlier, it just came out on iTunes about an hour ago, so you are getting our very initial reactions and all that kind of fun stuff.
And I just like to say that right at this moment when we're recording, it is already number 24 on the country chart on iTunes. AKA Taylor is a beast.
A beast.
Yep.
So, something interesting I thought of before we got started on the actual State of Grace discussion is a regular Taylor Talk listener who I'm sure you guys are familiar with the Twitter account. It's at Android. Know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Submits for the mini segments a lot.
Yeah.
Sent me one of the most, like, interesting things ever that they figured out that predicted. They sent this to me a week ago predicting why State of Grace was going to be the release using numbers and using the track number specifically. They pointed out to me that Begin Again is number 16 on the album. We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together is number 8, which is half of 16. I Knew You Were Trouble is 4. Red is 2. State of Grace is 1. So half of that.
Whoa, it's all the half.
But wait.
That's
like mathematically interesting.
Hang on, it goes on though. If you add up 16, 8, 4, 2, and 1, all the track listings of the singles that are out so far,
yeah,
it equals 31.
Whoa! Huh. Which is really just...
That's trippy.
Does that blow your mind or what?
Yeah,
I feel like
mind blown.
Taylor wouldn't do that, but that's very, like, detail-oriented, so perhaps she did? I don't know, but that's a really interesting coincidence either way.
I think it was deliberate.
My hat's off to you, Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to Android for figuring that out. That's really cool.
Yes.
Yeah,
our hats
for figuring
off.
That out and
work.
Sending it to us, huh?
That was cool.
All right, so let's get to the song itself. What do you all think?
Oh, it's so good.
I'm in love.
No, I have a story. Like, before we started recording this, I called Belle to, like, talk about the song, literally she answers the phone call in mid scream. Like, like, it's that good.
Yeah, I
we
really
were both
that.
Freaking out and having dance.
I'm sorry,
parties.
I was having a shriek fest, and
no, it's
as
okay.
much as I heart Maya, I couldn't stop my shriek fest just because she called. So I just let it go and picked up the phone or the Skype. Yeah,
that's kind
like,
of
ah! Hi.
That's okay. We all need time to scream about Taylor's new song. I really
do.
Like it personally.
I do too. I'm a big fan.
Me too.
I really enjoy it. I think it feels to me like this is the one. Remember in that, I think it was a Rolling Stone article a while ago, they said there was like a U2 like.
Yeah, wait,
ballad.
I found.
Yeah,
it, is
yeah,
that
it
one.
Was this song.
Okay,
they said
I was going to say
like
this definitely feels
U2
like that.
A U2 style one. Epic with howling reverb drenched guitars. That's what they said specifically.
That's an in depth description. Thank you for that.
Welcome.
Because when I was listening to it, I could envision it in my head. I don't know if you guys have ever seen U2 in concert. I have not, but I've seen videos. And I can totally picture Taylor like just belting this one out to this massive stadium. Just having it be like a really powerful song.
I was talking to one of my friends on Twitter before when the song came out. And we were discussing how we think that this would be a really good song to open the show with. And we were imagining Al just like rocking out at the beginning, and like essentially we were like coming up with staging for Taylor's tour, but it's just the intro by itself is the thing of beauty.
It is epic for sure.
That is the first thing that I was actually on AIM with a friend of mine when I was first time I listened to the song, and that's the first thing I said, and I go, I've heard like 10 seconds of the song, but the intro was amazing.
No, it was so good.
So in the GMA preview this morning, Taylor said it sounds like the feeling of falling in love in an epic way. Agreed?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. She did recently say that all of her thoughts sound like an Aerosmith song. So, I guess this shouldn't be a huge surprise.
The one that they didn't play at iHeart, you mean?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, don't want to miss a thing. How dare they not play that?
I don't know. I'm just so impressed because this song is so different than other things that she's done in the past, and she wrote it all by herself. No co-writers, no nothing.
I feel like the songs that Taylor has put out so far on this record that she's written herself have been like worlds better than the ones she had that she's written with like the other people.
I mean, I don't know, like, the ones she's written with other people are like are good in a different way. Like, you can feel that they're collaborations.
I mean, I really like the songs that she's collaborated on, don't get me wrong. Like, I really liked We Are Never Getting Back Together. I know Adam disagrees with me on this, but I really love I Knew You Were Trouble. But there is a definite different feel to Taylor's solo songs that she wrote and did herself, as opposed to the ones that she worked on with co-writers.
Well, what's interesting,
it's not bad or good, it's just different.
What's interesting, aside from co-writers versus writing by herself, I think every single release thus far has been very different. You have We Are Never Getting Back Together, that's like a giant dance party. You got Begin Again, which to me feels kind of like old school Taylor. What was after that? Red, which is just catchy and fun.
It's like almost like a rock pop thing.
Then you've got Britney Spears, I Knew You Were Trouble.
Oh my god.
And then you have this absolute like rock ballad that's very like, in my opinion, this one is very powerful musically, where a lot of Taylor's power quite often comes from lyrics, which I'm not saying these lyrics aren't powerful. I'm just saying that the music is especially powerful in this one.
Yeah, it really drenches you in a good way.
I mean, the lyrics of this one are ridiculous, too.
The only way that I can describe the way that this song makes me feel is there's a certain feeling you get when, you guys will all be able to identify with me on this, when we were at the Speak Now tour.
Yeah.
And Taylor comes on and starts Sparks Fly.
Ah!
It's that moment. And that's what this song brings to me, is that feeling in that moment.
The moment when the smoke starts coming out of the stage.
Yes! Oh my gosh, yes. Just that, oh, it's just this rush, and you just feel so, like, electrified and excited and just, like, powerful with
which
the way
is,
that
I guess means that she did her job well, because this song is supposed to sound like falling in love, and
yeah,
what you just
job.
Said sounds like a pretty accurate description of that.
Yes. Absolutely. The song is just that awesome, powerful moment where you're just drenched in this, like, you're just immersed in this awesome feeling. And she captured that beautifully, both musically and lyrically. And there are some lyrics in here that really intrigue me.
Oh, me too.
So do you think the lyrics do their job then as well? You're talking about the music does a great job, and I agree with you. The music does a fantastic job of giving you that feeling. So do the lyrics do that as well?
Yeah, the lyrics are really, they really like hit you. They really make you envision both in a literal and interpretory way. Like,
I don't know. They're so interesting. Like, I feel like she like jumped into a whole new level somehow. I don't quite know how to explain it, but I feel like this is like a new level of songwriting for her, like musically and lyrically.
The thing with Taylor that I've always loved is that she's a very literal songwriter, but she's really gotten good at like going from the literal to these like abstract descriptions to not only explain what's going on in her life with a song, but like to describe her feelings so ridiculously accurately without saying I am angry.
And then also like describe all of our feelings too.
Yes.
That's kind of what I was about to get at, was that she uses a lot of imagery. Like she's got, you know, you come around and the armor falls, pierce the room like a cannonball.
I mean, she's always been good at imagery. That's not new.
You can read it like a poem, though, this particular one.
Well, yeah,
I actually did
poem.
Read it like a poem. I read the lyrics without listening to the song.
So did I. And I think, too, going off with what you're saying, Adam, the line about the armor and the cannonball just goes along with, like, how epic this song is. And those are, like, markers of things that are, you know...
epic.
Yeah, in scale, like you have the armor, which is like battle and stuff, and then also in at the end of the song, she mentions in Achilles' heel, and that's something, you know, from like the Greek myths and things like that, and that's also epic. So I mean, I just really like the way she tied in all these like different old things to kind of, you know,
it's almost like relate a back medieval to her life. Song in a
it
amazing
is.
Rock ballad, like it's. It's all, I just, I don't know, like, I am so impressed by this, all around.
She's all grown up.
Aw, little Tay-Tay's all grown Aww. Up.
She is, though. Like, I don't know, I feel like more than anything that is something that we're just gonna keep saying about this album.
So, something we always ask, and I think is blatantly obvious in this song, who's it about?
Jake Gyllenhaal, this is not even a question.
Jake.
I'm literally not willing to argue with anyone.
I'm not going to argue.
No, I won't.
100%
there
Jill
is
Jake
no other
Hall.
Option.
Nope.
So Maya texted all of us within like 30 seconds of this song coming out, and it's like, I know who it's about.
Yep.
Like, you identified something right off the bat, and I identified something when I heard it too, but I would love for Maya to kick off this part of the discussion and let us know what she discovered.
Well, Taylor dropped us a pretty big hint at the end of the second verse with the line, just twin fire signs and four blue eyes. Her and Jake both have blue eyes. And also, Taylor's born on December 13th, and Jake is born on December 19th, which means they are the same zodiac sign. They happen to be fire signs.
They're all Sagittariuses.
Yes.
And I think this confirms Jake Gyllenhaal in You Solved the Puzzle. Good work, Maya.
Thank you.
I think it solves the question as to who the other songs are about, too, because supposedly this album is one relationship beginning to end. She just did that interview with Perez Hilton. Did you guys listen to that?
I watched that earlier.
Yeah, if you listen to it, she said something. I believe she used the description bookends. With this album. Is that what she said, I believe? Or she said it begins and ends?
I don't know. I'm starting to think that not only is this, like, this album is about a relationship beginning to end, but that she, like, put the songs in chronological order of the relationship.
I would have to agree with you about that, Maya. I wrote an editorial about that on TaylorSwift13.org. About that same theory.
Oh.
So if you want to read it, you can go check it out.
I think we were trying to speculate as to whether it was going to be a literal from beginning to end or whether that was more like in figurative, but now I'm starting to really believe it's literal.
Just in the order of the things as they happened. All right, so we more or less all agree it's about Jake Gyllenhaal and it's in chronological order now, so that really doesn't justify a large discussion. Belle, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you picture this, or you get the same feeling as the intro to Sparks Fly from the Speak Now tour, and think this would be a great intro to her Red tour. So I was actually thinking, it's interesting, when I first was taking notes on the song, I actually noted to myself, I really like it as the intro to the album.
Huh.
Did you guys get the same vibe?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I was so excited to, like, I've been most excited to hear this song, like, because people have been saying for the past week that there are rumors flying around that it was going to be this one, and I was just so excited to hear it because it's like, this song is the beginning of the album. It's the first thing that anyone hears when they go to listen to this. And it's like, it was so cool to think, like, to just to go into it with this mindset, like, this song is, like, the beginning of the Red era.
That is so true. That is so true. I feel like you just made a point that I, like, didn't know how to articulate before. Like, when I was talking about the Red tour, like, I'm just like, it just gives you this, like, feeling of, like, so a major amount of excitement, because this in itself is amazing, but you know that everything that comes after it is going to be just as amazing, and you just feel that kind of excitement.
It's that, it's like the song is the beginning of the Red era, and this song is the last song that we're getting before the album comes out, and it's just like, it's like, it's the beginning of everything.
That's part of the reason I think that everything with the release was very strategic. When we were talking about what Android said with the numbers and stuff, I think everything Taylor did was deliberate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she, you know, does things by accident ever.
Yeah, she wanted really to give you that feeling you're talking about.
She's like a huge control freak and planner,
yeah,
which is awesome.
Takes an incredible amount of creativity to figure that out, though.
Well, I mean, we knew she had that.
Yeah. You know, pointing it out. Fine, Maya. Whatever.
Sassy pants on today.
Every day. But something I wanted to discuss that we typically have not discussed with the prior singles is the cover art. Because all of us before recording noted it as being unique versus the other ones.
It's so cool. So, I don't
it's
get
really
it.
Cool.
So
but
different.
Like, I don't quite understand if there's some sort of symbolism going on that I haven't picked up on yet, but I just think it's really interesting. Like, she's just standing in a field balancing a guitar on her hand.
Yeah.
I want to know how she's doing that. Like, I'm kind of, like,
I feel like it was
tempted to go out and try it.
Taken in, like, mid-chance.
Probably.
Or maybe it was, like, someone was holding the guitar and then they had to, like, dive onto the ground for them to take the picture with the can and then...
No, I think she legitimately balanced the guitar upside down on her hand. I can't imagine that being too difficult for a couple seconds.
I don't know.
For, like,
I want
to
try it
to
see if it's possible.
Like, I'm just imagining it must have taken a lot of takes to get that shot right.
Yeah.
Probably lots of her, like, accidentally dropping guitars.
I don't know if it did. They probably just had a camera on rapid fire, so that way she put it up and they went and just took, like, 100 photos within a second.
I'm sure there's probably some funny ones of, like, the guitar, like, slow motion.
I would love to see that
ground.
Outtake. That would be a hilarious outtake.
There probably is, but it's definitely by far the coolest album art for any of the singles.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
If anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, when you buy it on iTunes, go look in the bottom left corner at the little picture that appears when you play the song.
Or when you listen to it on your iPod. Look
that
at
too.
The picture.
So, favorite lyrics, guys?
Oh, I love...
All of them?
Yes, all of them.
Maya, that's cheating. You can't say all of them.
Sorry, I'll
but
pick one.
I love the ending to the second verse. It says, "We're alone, just you and me. Up in your room, our slates are clean. Just two fire signs, four blue eyes." Now, I don't know if you guys have ever been in love or been, you know, had that sort of feeling, but when you're staring at that person that you really care about, it's like nothing else in the world exists except you and that other person. And to me, I think she just captured that so beautifully and so perfectly. That's why it's my favorite.
Yeah.
Well, what are you feeling?
My absolute favorite lyric is, "You come around in the armor, and the armor fall. Bleh. You come around and the armor falls, pierce the room like a cannonball." Because that, to me, describes exactly what Diane's talking about. Like, it's that moment when you... Well, I mean, it doesn't even have to be like an actual physical moment of staring at somebody. It can just be like something that happens between you two that gives you this feeling and this realization that like what you have between you, nobody else can understand, quote unquote. And I feel like everybody says that and, you know, it's not necessarily true, but it feels true in the moment. It feels like
no one can understand. Well, obviously it's not true because she's no longer with Jake.
Obviously.
Right, but at the time it was true for her.
But I'm just saying that, you know, that there is that moment where you have that feeling like nothing else matters but the two of you and nothing else exists but the two of you. And that to me just captures that moment perfectly, because when you, at the first time that you realize that, the first time that you feel that with somebody, it kind of slugs you in the gut. It's like this, whoa. Yeah. It just hits you and you're just like knocked on your butt by it.
Maya?
I just remember this one jumped out at me like the very first time I was listening through. We fall in love till it hurts or bleeds or fades in time.
That's my second
one. And I was like, whoa. I don't know. It's just, that was like my very first one that kind of hit me in the face.
I feel like that's a very mature lyric for her to write, like the realization of that, of being able to write that lyric.
This whole song, I feel like, is
the
a
stuff
really...
that she used to write, like, love story and how love lasts forever, and she's finally realizing that, like, not all love is like that.
Like, this whole song is a really mature representation of love, I feel like.
I agree.
Like, the verse sort of thing at the end, love is a ruthless game unless you play it good and right. These are the hands of fate. You're my Achilles heel. This is the golden age of something good. Like, even that, like, this is the golden age of something good, like... this is the good part right now. Like, it might not last, but it's just, like, that she's, you know, I mean, like we said, she's grown up now,
phase.
And she's finally, she's learning that not everything, love isn't
a
love story.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not all fairy tales and fun.
It's not all love story.
Exactly, it's not all love story. My favorite lyric, or one of them at least, that hasn't been mentioned yet, is when she just says, this is a worthwhile fight. It's so simple and to the point.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
Like, it's just simple. It just says, this is a worthwhile fight. It's worth fighting for. And I think that ties into everything you guys said, but it only makes sense because it's the overall message of the song.
I feel like that lyric right there, the one that Adam's talking about, this is a worthwhile fight, represents an incredible amount of, like, bravery in her, because no matter how many times, you know, she loses, she loves and loses, she still believes that it's worth it. And it's so easy to get jaded and feel like, and once you've been hurt once, twice, a handful of times, it's really easy to get jaded and feel like it's not worth it.
Well, what it comes down to, Belle, is love is a fight. It's a battle. Like,
yeah.
It's a battle till the end. And that's why I think that this whole song has that fighting feeling to it.
Sorry, Adam, like, I swear you, I just thought you were about to, like, break into Love is a Battlefield, and that's why I laughed. I wasn't laughing at Adam. Well, I was laughing at Adam, but, like...
You're just laughing at what you thought of.
Please
yeah,
don't.
Maya, you totally made me lose my train of thought, though, where I was going with that.
But I don't know.
That's okay. I think everybody got the gist, at least. Did you guys get the gist of that, what I was trying to say?
Yes.
About how the whole song is about love being a battle and not, it's a love story. Yeah.
Love is a battlefield. Sorry. No, well, what the line that you said, it just, I don't know, like, in slight opposition to what Belle said, like, I feel like that feeling of this.
Yeah, I hate to interrupt
this...
you, and I'm really sorry, but State of Grace is 13 on iTunes right now.
13!
Woo! Nice. Oh, that's so exciting.
Moving up the ranks, we're, what, about an hour and a half past release now.
Yeah. I was gonna say, oh, this is a worthwhile fight. Like, I feel like, despite however much heartbreak you might go through and whatever bad things, like, when you fall in love, no matter how the relationship ends, I feel like there's always a point when you think that. Like, there's always a point, even if you maybe don't think it the next day. Like, when you're in love, there's, you always have that, like, this is worth it. And that's why it's, I don't know, at least, like, to me, it's, like, so relatable, because, like, no matter what happens, there's a point when you feel like that.
Do you know what I would love to know? Is the timeline of her writing. Like, I would love to know when this was written, because Taylor writes what she feels, which means,
I mean,
this must have been written around the time the relationship was new, because then when you fast forward to We Are Never Getting Back Together, her feelings towards Jake Gyllenhaal are very, very different.
Like, I think this must have been written, like, not a whole very long time after the relationship started. Like, I think this song, this song was written
2 years old?
When she was falling in love with him.
Yeah, so this has to be an old song that we're
finally
getting.
I mean, she says all the time, it's like practically her catchphrase that she writes in real time. I think this was, you know, when she was feeling everything, she was feeling falling in love with him, and she knew that it was maybe going to be a big, huge crash and burn mess, but I don't know.
I just find it so interesting to observe the contrast between this and We Are Never Getting Back Together, because even if this was written at, you know, the very beginning of the relationship, which was a long time ago, and We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together was written far more recently, probably within the last 6 months at least. It's just interesting because they're both on the same album, yet they're both very contrasting views of the same person.
And that's what's so cool about this album, is that it's like the whole story of a relationship. It's like everything you can feel about a person, from like intense love to intense hate. I feel like I just quoted Taylor by accident, and I didn't mean to do that. But
that's okay.
Hey, accidental Taylor quotes are awesome. Woo. It's all good.
That's why it's red, because everything's just so intense. All the time.
So now that we do have all the four singles that are coming out before the actual album release, what is everybody's favorite?
This one.
That's going to be the hardest question of the night.
I think it's this one.
That's definitely the hardest question.
I mean, I don't know. Like, obviously, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together has a special place in my heart. But, I don't know. In, like, musically, lyrically, I like this one.
Okay. Diane?
I would say it's a tie between this one and Begin Again. I just love both of those lyrically. Like, they're just, I mean, they're both about falling in love, and to me, I think that's really beautiful, so that's why I cling to them.
I'm having a hard time picking between this song and I Knew You Were Trouble.
Ooh.
I really, really like I Knew You Were Trouble. But this song is also, just gives me that feeling that, like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I've already discussed it, but I can't pick. There's a tie between those two.
I can't pick. I think my favorite at the moment, which is apparently none of your favorites, is Red.
You know, that's actually a friend of mine was tweeting me earlier, and that's what she said. He goes, I've heard all the songs now and that are out, and Red is my favorite.
I don't know what it is. I just think it's catchy. I think it's fun. I think it's meaningful. It's impactful. But then there's
this one just kind of grabs me. I mean, it's then again, like,
super powerful,
Red made me bust out crying the first time I heard it, so, like, obviously that one grabbed me too, but it's different.
I think thus far Taylor's done good with this album.
I'm gonna have to agree with you on that.
You did good, girl.
100% agree.
Me too.
This album, guys.
This album is definitely her current masterpiece.
I can't wait for, like, next year's Grammys. I want another picture of her with, like, too many Grammys to hold in her arms.
Same here.
That's what I would like.
Do you know what I would love to do is fast forward 40 years into the future and see if Taylor is like the Beatles are now.
I think she will be.
Or if she's, like, still, like, playing, like, tiny acoustic shows somewhere.
I feel like she is setting a new kind of standard for music and the way that artists promote it, release it, write it. I feel like 20 years from now, she's still going to make a difference in the music business.
Totally. Completely and totally. You know, something I thought that was interesting, and I meant to mention it earlier, and I never did, was the fact that, yet again, this one was listed in iTunes as country. In terms of genre.
I think, and, I mean, all of them have been, right? Country.
They all have, yeah. And thus far, they have not been country.
Except for Begin Again.
Begin Again was.
Begin Again is country. Yeah,
Begin Again was kind of. And that it's interview we were talking about with Perez earlier. Yeah, the interview we were talking about with Perez earlier, he asked Taylor about that, and she said something about, she's been told she hasn't been country since her first album, which I thought was interesting. But her main concern is making sure she doesn't care if people say she doesn't sound country. What she cares about is making sure people don't say her songs all sound the same.
And she's definitely doing that, because none of these songs sound the same to me at all.
Which brings me to my next point, where I think Taylor is not a country artist. I think she is a brand new genre that I just invented this afternoon. Do you know what I call it?
What?
I'm scared.
Taylor Swift.
Wait, sorry, what, Anna?
Taylor Swift. That's the genre. It's Taylor Swift.
Oh. Good
one.
I think she needs to be her own genre at this point.
I think she definitely breaks the barriers.
She is her own genre.
And she, I like how she does it, though. It's not just that she breaks the barriers. It's that she does it well, without, like, trying to not do it. Like, she's okay with being like, you know what? This is my sound.
Like, she does it, like, it's not like she's, like, suddenly, like, singing heavy metal or something. Like, she's not, like, going nuts, but she's just, like,
screamo. Taylor can do a screamo.
No, but this song is definitely more rockish. Like, this song's definitely more rock. We Are Never Getting Back Together is pop. Trouble is Britney Spears. And the rest of them are good, too.
I saw some really funny thing on Tumblr that was, like, Taylor Swift, like, album 5, like, reggae, album 6, heavy metal, album 7, island rock, album island. 8, Latin. Like, she can, like, do
she's just gonna try whatever everything.
She if nothing wants. Else, if nothing else, it shows how musically talented she is.
Yeah,
like, exactly. Album 9, hardcore rap.
Oh my gosh, I want that album. Need to get Rapping Taylor out.
T-Sweezy.
Yes.
There needs to be a T-Sweezy album. Yep.
Or at least one song where she raps.
T-Swizzle album, absolutely.
Alright, so I think that pretty much wraps up our thoughts, our initial thoughts for State of Grace, which by this point is now 2 hours old, so as we get more information on it, we will fill you in more and more and more and more and have more fun. But before we wrap it up, I know Belle wants to make a special announcement, so I'm going to hand the mic over to Belle for a minute.
It's more of a shout-out than an announcement. I was just going to say that the only reason, like, I was considering buying that huge Taylor package on taylorswift.com, and I was really excited about it because I thought the blanket was really cute. And so I come home from work today, and I had a really bad day. I was just kind of crabby and grumpy, and I was like, oh my god, I'm so glad to be home. And there's a package sitting by my door. So I take it inside, open it up, having no idea what it is or who it was from, and it's the Taylor blanket. And my friend Brandy bought it and sent it to me and didn't tell me ahead of time. So I just wanted to say thank you and give a shout out to her.
No, that was sweet. Aww,
that was ridiculously really sweet of her. Nice. And now it's on my couch and it looks awesome.
Cool. Thanks for that story,
Belle. So yay, red blanket. There's a picture of it on Twitter, on our Twitter.
Where's my blanket, Brandy?
Adam, if you want a blanket, you can go to Walgreens and buy it yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, go get your own blanket.
I actually already bought the coolest thing from Walgreens, from the Taylor Swift store in Walgreens. You guys know what it is? I tweeted it the other day, a picture.
I know what it is, but that's only because I was with you.
Yes, a Taylor Swift iPhone sound amplifier. It's the coolest thing. It's just a piece of rubber that's shaped like, what are those things called, you know, from the old days?
Sonograph?
When you listen to records and they had the big horn thing.
Phonograph?
Is it a sonograph? Phonograph?
Phonograph, whatever. Something graph? That's it. So you basically put your phone in it. There are no electronic components. It's just a piece of rubber. And it runs the sound from your speaker in your iPhone through a tube and out a little amplifier thing. It's all rubber, portable, awesome. And it was only $7. And it's red. And says Taylor Swift on it. It's so
yay.
Cool. It's really cool. So, I figured I would share. Anyway.
That's awesome.
For our special edition episode 34, this has been Adam.
Belle.
Maya.
And Diane.
Saying have a great day, guys. We'll see you next week for the album release.
Woo! I'm excited for that
one. Oh, don't get too excited there, ladies.
I'm really, are you kidding me? I'm ridiculously excited about this.
We're allowed to be excited about this.
Ears.
Full album.
Virtual hand
next
hearts.
Week. Bye, guys.
Virtual hand hearts.
Bye.
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 Bye. We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.